Organics. Life's getting better.
Welcome, my friends, to Free For All Friday here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Finally the weekend, and boy, do we have a jam-packed hour for you. Gas prices, everybody wants to talk about them. That is truly the buzz across the land. You can't get away from it. Gas, 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 what are you paying? Ooh, I can't stand it. It's so high. I can't stretch my checks anymore. I've got an SUV. I got to haul the kids around. I drive for a living, and they only pay so much a mile. Or this is how much it costs to fill up my truck. I'm a truck driver. Truck drivers really know what's going on. You want to find out what's happening with the economy? Forget the idiots in the suits that have law degrees in Washington. Talk to the people on the ground. The truck drivers always know because they see how the needle moves, immediately how it's moving with diesel and what that means when they get to the certain destinations, depending on what they're hauling and what kind of company they're working for, and are they an independent contractor or do they work for a particular company. It's interesting. They're also the eyes and the ears often of what's happening from state to state, up on all the weather, up on what's happening, from the south to the east to the west to the Midwest, depending on the routes. All right, so those truck drivers will tell you. They know. They're listening to a lot of talk radio. And howdy, if you're listening to me right now and you're in a truck somewhere, I am the granddaughter of a trucker. My grandfather was a trucker for a very long time. So, and he was very into politics. He paid attention to what was happening. He was proud of keeping up on everything that he thought were the important issues. In fact, at the tail end of his life, he probably knew more about what every pundit was saying than I did, even if I taped everything. He used to say, well, that's the that's what you get with a college education. So anyway, he would be interested in this delegate count and what's happening now with Super Tuesday, because you've got a real game changer, 437 nominating delegates up for grabs on Super Tuesday next week. So all of the states award delegates proportionately, except North Dakota, where that vote is basically what you would call a political beauty contest, with unbound delegates would be free to cast their convention votes as they want to. If we look at the counts now, by my count, I've got Mitt Romney at 165, Rick Santorum 85, Newt Gingrich 32, and Ron Paul 19. So this is it. I mean, this last couple of days are big for Romney, or big for Santorum, especially because it seems like those two are the two that are duking it out. But I wouldn't count any possibility of a brokered convention, or who knows what happens with Newt Gingrich, and even Ron Paul is going to have a say at the convention. He doesn't get the nomination, despite how many people will call this show and tell me they love him. I get it. I get his quest for liberty and defending the Constitution and forget the Federal Reserve and all of that. But he's not going to get the Republican nomination for president. He's not. But he will absolutely play a part in what happens at the convention, and he'll wield some pretty big power there, I think. So that aside, the president is jumping on the whole gas prices thing because he's getting hammered. Here's what President Obama had to say earlier in the day on Thursday.
We can't just drill our way to lower gas prices. There are no quick fixes or silver bullets. If somebody tells you there are, they're not telling you the truth.
I don't know. What do you think about that? Are there quick fixes? I don't know that the word quick would apply, but the moratoriums, the offshore drilling, the Keystone Pipeline, the federal lands, drilling on the federal lands, the process in general that is being held up, I would disagree there, because those things could be changed seemingly overnight. And then you go through the permitting process. There are people that are waiting in line. They're backed up like jets at LaGuardia on the off ramps, if you will, on the tarmac, waiting to take off. So you have some oil deals that are waiting to take off, but they're going nowhere because their hands are tied at this point. So speaking of hands not being tied, and part of what I think will play into Super Tuesday, the U.S. Senate voted to kill a controversial proposed pushed by the Republicans that would have allowed employers to opt out of providing health care coverage they disagreed with on moral grounds. You know what the vote was? 51-48, pretty much party line. The motion by the Democrats to table the amendment worked. It effectively basically killed it. Three Democrats joined Republicans in opposing the tabled motion. One Republican, the retiring moderate senator, Olympia Snowe of Maine, voted with the Democrats in favor. So it was called the Conscience Amendment, which was sponsored by Roy Blunt, the senator from Missouri. And that was the Republicans' response to the controversy over the Obama folks deciding to mandate the kind of health care coverage provided by religious employers. Remember, that exploded. And what it was is the bill would say that the health care providers don't have to follow that mandate if it violates their faith principles. And what Blunt said is this about First Amendment. It's about religious beliefs. It's not about any, you know, one issue. So what's interesting about the Blunt Amendment and then what happened and, you know, how it was killed, because the Democrats said, look, it's going to provide too much latitude for employers to impose personal beliefs on the health care of their workers, which I agree with that. That's a slippery slope. That's not defined down to the nub, because it would have to be defined. I don't think that religious organizations, because now that we're in the thick of this, especially these Catholic charities and whatnot that are just can't believe that they're in this situation, I get that. But the way that that law was written, it would have, could have been disastrous. So Rick Santorum was quick to jump on this because of the flip-flopping of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was asked by a reporter, talked to a reporter, and said how he felt about the Blunt Amendment, we'll call it that, or law. And he said that he opposed the Republican bill to block President Obama's policy on contraceptive insurance coverage. But then, just a few hours later, Romney reversed himself and said he misunderstood the question. That damage is done, and I'm wondering if that's going to take him out in a couple of those states on Super Tuesday. You have got to stick to what you believe or understand the questions. So, I mean, this is a huge dispute. Huge. He's struggling to win over the right, and he's killed himself with the right because of things like this. Because he flip-flops too much. So then when he's at this meeting in North Dakota, he spoke about that Senate provision that is about religious freedom and women's privacy rights. That's if you want to bill it as that. And he went into the whole thing again about how he doesn't believe, he says, Obama's decision to compel insurance companies to offer contraceptive coverage even for employees of religious affiliated institutions is an attack on the First Amendment. Too late. Talk about the cat being out of the bag. He says one thing, then comes back and says another thing, says he misunderstands the question. I'm not buying it. Or else he doesn't know what he's talking about and doesn't understand what that debate, that whole debate was over. I mean, I would buy that if, whoa, I'm lost, I have no idea. If he pulled a Rick Perry, it would have been better than what he did in flip-flopping on this. All right, coming up, our daily salute, in fact, our weekly salute next. Great gal we're going to introduce you to who's helping some people who really need it in Las Vegas. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, March 1st, 2012. Gold opened this morning at 1710.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1753.07, 876.54 for a half ounce, or 438.27 for a quarter ounce. That's 1753.07, 876.54, and 438.27.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer, localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play you. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand.
Every week on America Tonight, we do this thing where we spotlight good deeds that other people are doing called the Daily Salute. Found a great one this time around. You think of the homeless situation across the country, and particularly in places that are super hard hit, where the economy is just crippling, like Las Vegas, a place where I used to live, and I saw a lot of homeless people when I lived there, and now that has multiplied. Well, enter Danny McCaslin, who decides, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to help these people. They could use a sandwich. They could use some food. And you would not believe how it has snowballed since she first decided to reach out. She's in our virtual green room right now. I think she's got a latte in her hand. I hope we gave her a latte. She's probably putting that down. Danny, we spare no expense on this show. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what happened. How is it that you decided you were going to reach out? What made you decide to do that? Were you seeing them in your daily life? You're seeing a lot of people that were down and out, and you just decided, man, we've got this extra food, so let's do something?
Right, yeah, we just had some extra food after a party. It wasn't expected. It wasn't anything we had planned out. And we packed it up, and we took it downtown and tried to find some homeless people to give it to, and we found a group of about 50 people living in tents in a deserted railroad lot. And so we just, you know, we got out and started giving them the food, and we found out, you know, we listened to their stories and got to know them and just figured out that it was a really bad issue in Las Vegas that needed to be addressed. And so from then on out, we decided that we would go out there twice a week and start giving them food, start giving them sandwiches, water, and, you know, just sack lunches. And it just kind of snowballed, and just after talking to them and getting to know them a little more, then we decided that, you know, food wasn't the major issue that was going on down there. They also needed toiletries and socks and underwear and blankets and clothes. So we started handing them all of that.
When you found out some of the other things that they needed, did you reach out to the community? How did you get people to donate some of the things?
Yeah, we did. After about a month of just a few of us doing it, we decided that, hey, why don't we post on some social media sites, see if anyone else wants to volunteer with us, hang out with us, see what, you know, comes of it. And amazingly enough, we had a huge outcome of people wanting to get involved, people wanting to get help, you know, and wanting to just help in any way they can. So we had, you know, just all these people from all different kinds of walks of life that were put into the PBJ fold and started coming down with us and started helping. So now we have about, you know, 200 people in the community volunteering and coming down to this group of people and helping them out, trying to get their identification, trying to help them with job resumes, job building, and just doing everything we can to try and get them off the street.
And it's, you know, this has only been since, what, last November?
Yeah, it's been since November. This is coming on to our fourth month. And then we were also, throughout the community, there was also a very generous property owner who actually donated us 5 to 6 condos that we have right now that we've been able to place homeless folks in to help them get their jobs and just have a temporary housing for 3 months while we help them get on their feet.
What's been the most rewarding part of doing this?
The most rewarding part is just being able to see, you know, these people and the situations they've been in. It's been humbling more than anything else, just because I've been able to see that they're just normal people. They're just like me, you know, and that a lot of Americans are just about 1 or 2 paychecks away from being in their situation. And it's just, you know, it's really humbled me and made me realize that these people are not, there's a big misconception about them. And it's, that's been the rewarding part, is just listening to their stories and hearing them and trying to help them.
Yeah. You know, who knew, as you said, people often feel removed or say, don't give money, don't reach out, and look what you've been able to do in such a short amount of time. Tell us some of the stories. I heard a story about running into somebody who decided they were going to come. They were going to come to Los Angeles and try to be an actor. They couldn't do it, and then they ended up in Las Vegas because they never made it all the way home. They didn't have the money to do it. A young kid. What was his story?
Yeah, there was a young 18-year-old boy who had come out, and he thought, you know, it was Las Vegas, so there was plenty of jobs, he could find something to do, and unfortunately he was in a relationship that didn't last, so he found himself without a job, without a house, without any kind of way to get home, and one of our volunteers had come out and saw him and was really, you know, her heart really got out to this, or reached out to this little boy, or this young boy, and you know, she was like, what is it that you need? Do you want a job or do you want to just go home, back home to Atlanta? And he said, I just want to go home. I just want to go back to my family. And so, you know, right then and there, she bought him a bus ticket back home to Atlanta. And so it was just amazing. I mean, our whole model is see a need, fill a need. And obviously that young man needed to go home. And so right away we got him home. And it was just amazing to see that, you know, that man's day had changed in a matter of minutes. You know, he thought that probably that night he was going to figure out how he needed to get food, how he was going to survive that night, and then he ended up going home and being okay. So.
Yeah, that has to feel good, some of the things that you've been able to do. And the hardest part about doing this, I would imagine, is the drain on the time, because you have your own personal life and what you're doing, and now what's become something that's a truly an entity of a force of change, if you will, because you've seen how things have snowballed. So how do you balance that?
Just getting help from other people, getting other people involved was kind of, you know, just getting people involved and helping and just balancing it. It's been...
That's what you have to do. Yeah, just find people that are able to pull it all together. The PBJ name is obviously a play on peanut butter and jelly, and that's what it started out as, right? Peanut butter and jelly, and it's gone from there.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So ultimately, as this continues, as we're talking about here, continues to grow, what do you hope happens?
Well, we're hoping to expand on this temporary housing thing we have going on. Right now we only have about 6 condos to use, and we're hoping to, as we grow larger, to be able to get more condos available and be able to do this 3-month program with homeless people and ultimately get them permanently off the street. And, yeah, that's our long-term goal.
And the people that you found, is it all, you know, all ages, all different types of scenarios of the reason why they're homeless? Have you found that out when you've listened to their stories?
Yes, they're all very, very different, which is why we try and keep it very personal, why we go to them, why we talk to them and try and get to know their story, because often homeless are stereotyped all into one kind of group, and that's not the case at all. Everybody is different. Everybody has a completely different story and a completely different situation. So we try to really, you know, figure out what it is they need personally and what got them to the street, not what everyone thinks happened. You know, there was one guy that's in the condos right now, and his story was he was a truck driver for 15 years, and the company just closed out one day, closed their doors, and then they sent out their last paycheck bounced. And then he found himself, you know, going through his savings and, you know, he borrowed from family and friends and eventually just had to come to the street. And he refers to himself as an economic refugee, and that, you know, what happened to him is because of the economy, not because he's a drunk or he's on drugs or it was just a slew of bad luck that happened to him.
And after hearing his story, now where is he in trying to find a job? Are you trying to help him? What's happened?
He's been in the condo for about 2 months now, and we helped put his birth certificate, get all of his identification straightened out, and then he got reaccepted into truck driving school. So that's like a 12-week course, and within 6 weeks of it, he will have a job. So he is well on his way to being self-sufficient and back on his feet and in his own home.
Wow, and that's the goal, right? The goal is, as you said, to get more condos, to help more people with the job situation, get more people involved.
Right. We have about a three-month thing going on in the condos. We put them in for about the first 4 to 6 weeks they're in. We get their identification straightened out. We build their resumes. We have a job counselor come in, a budgeting someone coming in and work on their budget. And then they get a job at the end of the 4 to 6 weeks. And then we let them save their paychecks for about 2 months and live completely free. And to help them save up for a deposit and to get a savings account rebuilt, and then they go out on their own after the 3 months.
Wow. If somebody listening to this wants to help out, how can they do that, Danny?
Well, they can go to facebook.com/parkbenchjustice, and they can. There's many ways people can get involved, far or near.
Yeah, that's you know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, people that might have donations or other things that they want to send to you, so they can do it that way. Just check out Facebook. Danny McCaslin, thanks so much for joining us in America Tonight, and bravo for what you're doing to help those people.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have two law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years, and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone, and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952 952- 886-7141 or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Denison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Ann. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-839-2959. That's 1-800-839-2959. 1-800-839-2959.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try liquid zeolite today.
Up on America Tonight, I promise we're putting on the shoes. We're going to run down to the mail room in our next segment. But before we get there, a couple of quick things on the fair or foul line, and a story of a man who really kind of railed against the establishment types in journalism. 43 years old, Andrew Breitbart, dead after collapsing apparently on some kind of a walk or a run in his Brentwood neighborhood in Los Angeles. It's interesting because the blogger who made a huge name for himself was apparently close to a deal with CNN. He was going to do a show with Anthony Weiner, the former congressman, the disgraced congressman who he helped bring down. And that's Breitbart, though. He knew when to seize an opportunity, and he seized upon it. He was a conservative star, conservative blogger who posted that explicit photo of Anthony Weiner that led really to the downfall, his unraveling. So isn't it interesting that, if there's any truth to that, that they might have ended up doing a show together. And, you know, he passed away unexpectedly from what they're saying is natural causes. So, you know, there were rumors circulating that he was running or jogging or doing that. And then what ultimately his editor-in-chief released just a while ago is that he passed away unexpectedly from natural causes after midnight. Now, he had four sons that he was really, really proud of. He was one of my friends on Facebook, and he was always talking about his boys, how much he loved his boys on the personal side. But he on the other side of things, was that crusader against against the old guard journalistic types and saying that there was this massive machine in the media that could be, you know, could be broken because there was a different way to do this. And the things in the stories that he broke were kind of, I'd say, kind of interesting, huge. He made huge headlines in the last couple of years. And, you know, he was a pretty innovative guy. Even if I didn't agree with everything that he did in a lot of his stories, there were things that I do agree that he did, and there were stories that he did break that I thought it was brilliant to twist on some of them. And he definitely was a guy who fought for what he thought and what he believed in, and he railed against what he called media bias and government corruption. And, you know, even though he was slammed a couple of times for some of the stories, he was ultimately praised by a whole bunch of people. Even the former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, running for president, said Breitbart was a brilliant entrepreneur, fearless, conservative, loving husband and father. Newt Gingrich said Andrew was the most innovative pioneer and conservative activist social media in America. He had great courage and creativity. The Texas Governor Rick Perry, also a former Republican presidential contender, said Breitbart fought for what he believed in, exposed government corruption and media bias. His spirited voice will be missed, but not forgotten. Here's a couple of slices of Breitbart on the one big story, especially the Wiener story, where he really got into the thick of it. Take a listen.
I'm not doing this for nefarious purposes. I'd like an apology from him for allowing for his political protectors, this was his strategy, was to blame me, for hacking. Oh, don't worry. Breitbart's our regular whipping boy. We can accuse him of anything, and the press will not hold those journalists to account, no matter what they say. And so I'm here for some vindication. How is it revenge? The story played itself out in real time. There was zero premeditation involved in this. This is a legitimate story, and this is a continual attempt to blame the messenger.
And all that was over the Congressman Wiener situation, where he released all those photos, and that was it. And then Wiener came out and decided to resign after that under all the pressure. So Breitbart was the one who exposed him, in a sense, with the photographs, and you heard what he said there, because he was getting heavy backlash for actually doing that. And he got his start helping to run the Drudge Report, actually, the Huffington Post. He was involved in a bunch of that, but the Drudge Report especially, that he was somebody who was able to blog and get things out there, and then he went in his own direction and had gotten a big name for himself. So dead at the age of 43, and people really, he was one of those guys, they either really, really liked him or they really, really hated what he was doing with his site. But he had a presence, and he absolutely had conviction in what he was doing. I don't think he was a faker and was necessarily trying to grab up the money, lap up the milk, because he knew it was a layup, because he had a lane. I think he really believed in what he was doing, absolutely. All right, speaking of blowback, it's worth mentioning this here, because there's a big movie coming out on HBO, and it's about Sarah Palin. And Sarah Palin certainly is another one of those people who is very polarizing. You either like Sarah Palin or you don't like Sarah Palin. And this TV movie that's coming out on HBO is based on the whole time when she was a vice presidential nominee. There was a book written called Game Change. If you remember, we had both of those authors on the show, and it's supposed to air on March 10th. Julianne Moore is Sarah Palin. So Palin is kind of in this, not kind of, but in the book Game Change, they make her look like the villain for sure. And I guess in this movie, she comes out as the villain. So look for more Sarah Palin conversation coming your way soon. And, hey, the lady is getting, you know, 40,000, 50,000 sometimes for speeches. And I said this before, well, we watch what happens in 2012, and she's got a gig on Fox. She's a kingmaker for the Tea Party. So you see Rick Santorum, who has 83 delegates right now, but we're right on the cusp of Super Tuesday, and you've got Mitt Romney, who has 165, and Sarah Palin is not on board with the Romney Express, not on board with some of the things that he's been saying lately. So who knows, maybe Rick Santorum benefits from that, because Newt Gingrich is really who Palin likes or talks about the most. But Rick Santorum could benefit from that, and she's got a Tea Party bent, and people are listening to, certainly from the Tea Party, are listening to some of the things that Sarah Palin's saying. So he may pick up some of the runoff on that. We'll see what happens in those contests in those 10 states. North Dakota is the only one where it's more of a beauty pageant, but the rest, those are solid, solid numbers. And I think Santorum is going to try to do everything he can to pound the pavement. I mean, as are all the candidates, but I think he's got a little bit of a hook into Romney for some of the things that he said recently, and he's going to run to the bank with that flip-flopping message. That's what we're going to hear throughout the weekend, probably Monday and into Tuesday as well. But I haven't even mentioned this. You know, it used to be when I'd come on this show and I'd say, geez, give me a call, and, you know, this is what I'm thinking because this is just crazy, and we need to power the people, and we need to get more involved, and that is still the basis for this show. Being involved, being politically active, no matter what your stripes are, having an opinion, because we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. So whatever it is we're talking about, whether it's Breitbart's influence, what's happening with Mitt Romney and the flip-flopping, whether it's the bunt law or whether it's something else as simple as NASCAR and saying he's buddies with the owners and then changing the story, whatever it is, I always invite you to come on and throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. But it used to be when I'd come on the show, I would also say that we never got through a week, ever. And I could go through the archives in the last 3 years just on this network and prove to you that I have never gone a week where we haven't talked about something horrific with the weather. And sure enough, we've got some horrific things that happened the last couple of days. Now they're worried about it again in Tennessee, Lexington. Many people listening to us on WVLK and in Nashville, in that area, and further down in the southeast in Tennessee, 12 people dead because of a wicked storm system. And we're talking about tornadoes. We're talking about people who feel lucky that they didn't lose their lives, but realize that they've got nothing of their personal life left. Literally, their houses were blown up. It looks like a bomb went off. There's no other way to describe it. It's just massive wreckage from the twisters from southern Indiana and southern Ohio, a chunk of Kentucky and central Tennessee, northern or northeastern Mississippi, really, if I looked at a map, and northwestern Alabama. And they say they're going to develop again around noon on Friday. So there's going to be windows for tornadoes because of the pressure and between 4 and 8. So there's a potential for more wind gusts and hail and tornadoes in some of those same areas. And, boy, have they been hit by the severe weather in the last 6 months. Maybe they'll weaken. I hope they weaken. They head into the weekend. But the severe weather threat is supposed to just diminish overnight on Friday and into Saturday morning. 13 people dead across Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee. And the last death that I saw reported was in Kansas. A 53-year-old man died from injuries that happened to him when the tornado slammed into Harveyville on Tuesday night. Sad stuff. Hang with us. Mailbox and Mickey Dolan's next.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com. In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? ExtendoVite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, ExtendoVite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Final turn, going down the stretch, and let's reach out to Rick in Illinois. Yo, Rick, what's happening?
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
If I hear one more thing about Whitney Houston, my head's going to explode.
Are we still talking about her? What happened? That's been weeks now, right?
Oh, man. I didn't know we were supposed to honor drug addicts, binge drinking, and pill poppers.
Yeah, no, but you know what? You know what? I will tell you this. It is such a big deal in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. It is such a big deal. There's all kinds of tributes. There's all, you know, they repackage her albums. You know, you're right. It's in a way, it's a crazy thing because, okay, so she died, but she was struggling with addiction. She had some beautiful songs out, but you're right. How much is, you know, it's sort of overload. Not sort of, it is overload.
Way overload.
Yeah, way overload.
Every day somebody tries to find somebody that knew her or seen her the day before. You know, somebody opened the door for her or somebody drove her around or something.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, what's the price of gas out there?
Price of gas is $3.57.
Well, ain't too bad.
No. And actually,
$3.80 back here.
Yeah, Illinois, it's you always get it worse
Chicago,
in Illinois.
$4.
Yeah, Chicago's bad. Chicago's always been high. I think it's the situation because of the refinery and how far it takes for the refined oil or whatever. Somebody told me that one time. And in California, it's terrible, too.
Well, we got one of the biggest ones right across from St. Louis.
I know.
Illinois.
Yeah.
That should be cheap. But
it should be.
I was wondering, you got people, they're trying to blame Obama. And when George Bush was president in 2008, gas was over $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
Nobody blamed him for it. wasn't his fault.
Oh, nobody, yeah, they did. Oh, no, they blamed him. Nancy Pelosi blamed him. Hillary Clinton blamed him. I could dig up old sound bites where people were saying, oh, well, you know, this is the Bush administration. No, no, no. People, other politicians pointed that out. Absolutely. Yeah, they did. They did. Because this is what happens. I mean, when the gas goes up, if you're president, you're going to definitely take the pounding for it. But with Obama, because of the Keystone Pipeline and the moratorium on some drilling, because you know this, Rick. Remember, initially, the president was saying we need more offshore drilling. Remember that? I mean, I know we've got that comment somewhere. Then the Gulf crisis happened with the BP oil spill, and that put the brakes on all of that because of that horrific spill. And were we doing enough to make sure the oil platforms were meeting the regulations and the companies were doing what they were supposed to do? So that's what happened. Or we wouldn't be, maybe we wouldn't be in this conversation if that hadn't happened.
Well, we should have learned something back then.
Yeah.
Get off of it.
Well,
right back in the same boat again.
Or if we were, if that's the case, if there's so much concern over that, because I still think, I don't believe that we should, I think we should lift the moratorium on some of the drilling. I'm not saying all the sites. I'd have to look at the various sites to decide which ones I thought. I think the Keystone Pipeline should happen because I've talked to people who say it's environmentally sound, and even the Energy Secretary said that. But listen, it's a political hot potato, and the ultimate, whoever's in charge is going to get the blame unless they do something about the prices. And part of that goes back many presidents ago when things weren't developed, like ethanol. The ethanol plants weren't put up. The idea of green, I mean, that's not just an Obama thing. Remember, alternatives were discussed even by Bush.
But they don't
pursue them. They don't pursue them. There's not enough money dumped into that. There's not enough science behind it. And we don't have widespread alternatives. We don't. So we're stuck.
Back when Bush was president, he should have started something to get us off of it. You know, that, well, like Brazil, they don't even worry about what price oil is. They don't use it.
No. Here's what they do in Brazil. I just was talking about this the other day. I've got a ton of information on that. In Brazil, they've got the alternative of ethanol that's widespread. Of course, they make ethanol with sugar cane, but the cars are equipped to do both. You can get oil, or you can pump in ethanol, and a lot of people go with the ethanol. So you're right. I mean, Brazil blows us away.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're going to do since our scientists from NASA.
Yep.
We send people out of space anymore and go out and find out what they're doing and come back and do it here.
Yeah, I agree. Find alternatives that are affordable. Absolutely. Rick, have a great weekend.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye. I mean, and I don't think anyone, Republican or Democrat, would disagree with that. But I keep saying the same thing over and over again. You have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm a gas guzzler. We live in a gas-based nation. We need petro to get from point A to point B, or everything stops in our world. It's not realistic to think that you're in the Tour de France and can ride your bike to work. You can't. And depending on the area you live, you can't even use public transportation if you wanted to. It depends. So the answer is things that could have been developed and gone hand in hand with gasoline would have made us less dependent, given us other alternatives, and would have spread the wealth out, I believe. But instead, it's an either-or choice. You get the green shoved down your throat, and it's impossible. It's too expensive. It doesn't work. Can you afford to have a windmill in your backyard? Probably most of you listening to me, no. Maybe a few of you. Probably the Koch brothers are listening to the show, and they could afford to line up windmills throughout my entire subdivision. But most of us couldn't do that, so that's not realistic. To retrofit your house, you can't afford it. It would be great if you could, but you can't. And then that's just, well, I'm not even talking about ethanol or talking about some of the other possibilities. It's just not viable. So the moratorium just doesn't work. You got to lift some of those. You got to let the oil flow. If that's what we are, and we are dependent on gasoline, it's got to be refined. The crude has to be refined. We have to have the availability, and we have to have the sources. And the more sources you have, the better chance you have of the gasoline not costing as much. Of course, part of that is the speculating and Wall Street's fault because of how they drive up crude prices. Crude prices drive or get driven up, and if you've got a little bit of oil stocks, you're probably happy. If you don't, you're not happy. And then gasoline goes up. That's part of it, too. A little bit in the Middle East, but not as much as you would think. Still, there is a little bit because of allies and other people who are affected by it. That affects our bottom line. Yeah. All right, I want to quickly seg into something else. A lot of people sent me notes about Davy Jones, who was the heartthrob behind the Monkees. He died Tuesday morning at a hospital in Stuart, Florida. He was 66 years old. A lot of people, maybe they were younger or teenagers or whatever, watched the show that he had, the Monkees show that was on TV. And we've had on this show before Mickey Dolenz. And Mickey is a great guy who talked about how Michael Nesmith and Peter Tork and Davy Jones, how they all segged into this popular band and this television show, and it lasted for a long time, well after the late 60s, 68, the year that everything came to an end for them. And what people don't realize about the Monkees is that they were actually really, really good musicians. So here's what Mickey had to say as far as a memory is concerned about Davy Jones.
We shared a house together in the early days before we could afford to get our own places, and we were driving up to and parking in front of our house and listening to the radio, and it was Monkey Day. And I never forget that, and all of a sudden Last Train to Clarksville came on, and he said, "Well, that's us!"
Yeah, Last Train to Clarksville, Daydream Believer, you still hear this if you flip around, if you're a person who flips around and goes to some of the oldie stations, or you just seg in different directions with different kinds of music. And plus the remakes of those songs like Daydream Believer and Stepping Stone and whatnot. Huge, huge. So Davy Jones's death, I think, caught some people by surprise just because of recently he had made some appearances and whatnot. And so they were shocked when they upon hearing that and thinking of when they were kids. I was too young, but I was certainly, I was alive then because they were still thriving after 68. And I can remember, I don't know, maybe it was Brady Bunch. I can remember seeing him on a Brady Bunch episode that they probably still play on TV Land.